Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney, bursting at the seams. I can barely speak. I'm so excited with all the good news this week. So that's what it is. So glad to have you here on the show. We don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help you focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's great to have everybody with us, and it's great to be here. It's not that often. We have a lot of good news to report, but we have a good bit of it this week. And so turn it up. You should be upbeat. I'm upbeat. Should I start with this story from Jeffrey Tucker over at Brownstone? I think I will. This is an analysis of what's happening with the unveiling of quite possibly the greatest criminal fraud ever committed in the history of mankind, with what the Elon Musk and his boys are uncovering at, just starting at USAID, just that. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So Jeffrey Tucker over at brownstone.org gives his analysis. He says, a strange thing happened in 2020. Governments at all levels across the globe turned on their people. Governments had never before attempted anything this audacious, claiming mastery over the microbial kingdom and then unveiling the release of a magic potion. So he's talking about the whole COVID panic and then the sustained hysteria and the vaccine and the vax mandates, all of that, right? And he goes on, he says the potion didn't work. Those who died were denied common therapeutics. A worse fiasco would be hard to invent outside dystopian fiction. So true. Mr. Tucker goes on. This huge experiment involved reality finally being broadcast in broad daylight to the whole population of the world. Centuries of philosophy and rhetoric were being shredded before our eyes. Whole populations came face to face with the unthinkable. Government had become a grand scam, or even a criminal enterprise. A machinery that served only the elite's plans and the elite's institutions. The cheerleaders of government, well, they had to take stock. Their true love, government, had become malevolent, evil. And the champions of private enterprise had to admit that private enterprise had participated and benefited from the entire fiasco. All major political parties and their journalistic backers had participated. So, and then it's a great article. He goes on to talk about, well, listen to this. The sheer number of rackets spilling out like an avalanche is mind-boggling. How deep is the corruption? There are no words to describe its breadth and depth. And so what this has me thinking is that in the wake of all the COVID disastrous, terrible things that happened, and as down as I've been about the whole thing, it turns out that there is a silver lining around the cloud, because this rank political maneuver to remove this one man from office who, for whatever reason, caused a derangement syndrome across the globe could very well uncover and perhaps lay the groundwork for undoing the greatest criminal fraud ever committed in the history of mankind, which is being exposed right now. And this is why I can't believe they didn't kill Trump, because I thought this is exactly what he would do. And I thought they're never going to let him do that, But they are letting him do that. And it could very well be that the powers that be, they only, it turns out they're only the powers that be because we think they're the powers that be. They're actually a paper tiger. And all that ever had to happen was for one person to stand up and say, hey, we're not going to play this anymore. And suddenly everyone realizes they have no power to keep this going. Anyway, I hope all this is true. Listen to this. Over at the USAID, that's the United States Agency for International Development, who, by the way, on the air over 10 years ago, well over 10 years ago, Bob Enyard and I, on the air, decried USAID as a criminally insane cult, doling out money to promote perversion around the world. So, and now, the Dodge, I'm going to call him Dodge. I think everyone calls it Doge. Is it Doge? I think because Musk had a coin called Dogecoin. It had a picture of a dog on it, but they called it Doge. Because everything in the digital world is weird and somewhat twisted and just weird. So you have a coin with a dog on it and you call it Dogecoin. And then nobody knows quite how to pronounce it because it's a D-O-G with an E on it. What is that? So anyway, because Musk comes from the twisted, drug-induced, drug-addled, I should say, world of data, everything he does is just a little weird and cryptic and odd. But one must give credit where credit is due. And Elon Musk and his troops of video game, Adderall-powered teenage computer programmers have gotten into, well, USAID, which is an agency that's been around for about 60 years. According to the Associated Press, USAID staffers, about 600 of them, were locked out of the agency's computers last week so that Elon and his band of video game, pornography, and Adderall-driven teenage mutant ninja programmers could look at what's going on down there. And last Sunday, President Trump called it an organization run by radical lunatics. And had they been able to actually shut it down, they would have. But because it's a bureaucracy, you can't, they never die. They have to be killed. And so basically he folded it into the State Department, put it under Marco Rubio. And now there will have to be legislation introduced. They'll have to go through all that. And so my guess is USAID will never die. I hope it does. And if it actually dies, if the Trump administration is able to create the legislation, push it through the Congress, and USAID is actually eliminated as an agency, I will dance on the rooftop and admit that Donald Trump has done a wonderful, incredible, great thing. He's already done, just exposing the crime has been a great thing. And by the way, this is another one of those events that will delineate for you who is a leftist maniac and who is a normal person. The people who think what Elon Musk is doing is evil, they're evil. If the people who think that uncovering all this criminal activity is good, they're normal people. And I'm going to tell you about somewhere between 10 and 30% of the people around you are evil, malevolent evil, even though they're not on the take. And then all the people who are on the take, they're going to be very upset and they're going to shout the loudest. And we're all going to be shocked at how many of them there are. How many people whose livings and companies and industries have been funded by us, the money stolen from us at gunpoint and given to people who hate us, our enemies. And it's all going to be exposed. It's been exposed, frankly. It's been obvious now for a week. There's a website. Who's the guy on X? I can't remember exactly. Anyway, he's actually posting the invoices, the paid invoices paid by you and I. And if they get into the Treasury Department, oh, Katie bar the door. Okay, Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, offered his perspective on USAID. He said governments don't want USAID funds flowing into their countries because he says they're marketed to for support and development to help the poor and the women and the children and the underprivileged. But he said the funds are actually funneled into opposition groups, NGOs, and destabilizing movements. He says 10% of the money reaches projects that actually help people. The rest is used to fund dissent, finance protests, and undermine administrations that refuse to align with the globalist agenda. So the criminally insane sex cult that seized the government of the United States finally and publicly in 2020, this is how they've been operating for more than my entire lifetime. Over 60 years, this agency has been corrupting and stealing, robbing and stealing and killing and destabilizing and basically proselytizing for the communists. That's what's been going on, and now it's all coming out, and I'm glad it is. Listen to this. This is from the Dodge a Bullet file. Yeah, I've decided to call it Dodge because Doge is weird, that's all. And plus, what you're going to watch over the next 4 years, hopefully, is a bunch of people trying to dodge a lot of allegations because of the evidence of their criminality. Anyway, from the Discern report via the End of the American Dream, the entire world is watching as the crimes of the United States government are being revealed by Dodge. Now I got to tell you, the guys at End of the American Dream, they're just Republican hacks. And while we're all celebrating the dramatic exposure of the criminal activity of our enemies, and we should all be celebrating that, we can't get bamboozled by the political hacks. The guys at End of the American Dream write, "The world is watching as the crimes of the United States government under the Biden administration are being revealed by Dodge." No, not crimes under the Biden administration. Did you, are you guys are you not aware that the USAID goes back 60 years? That's not the Biden administration, okay? Anyway, I'll get back to that. Election interference, overthrowing governments, funding terrorism, funding abortion, promoting the exploitation of children are just some of the crimes against humanity that are being exposed by Musk and his Dodge team this week. The primary agency responsible for all this crime, criminal activity, USAID, has a bigger budget than the CIA. And then in this same article, the guys over at End of the American Dream, They have documented events that have occurred that are quite likely criminal. One of them, in 2006, archived USAID website proudly claims the agency supported revolutions in Ukraine, Georgia, Lebanon, and Kyrgyzstan. Just a note to the guys at End of the American Dream. In 2006, Biden was not president. In fact, it was a Republican, George W. Bush, the stupidest president in the history of America. And just like so many presidents before him, when George W. Bush got into office, instead of looking around and saying, "This is criminal, this has to stop," he looked at the USAID and he thought, "I can use that for some of my stuff." And then he did. And the communists let him use it for a little bit of his stuff because they got to use it for all of their stuff. And George W. Bush did it. And Barack Obama did it. And then Donald Trump didn't want to go along with it in his first term, but he didn't know any better, but they knew they had to get rid of him. They knew if he hung around long enough and looked around, he'd be like dad coming home and taking off his belt, being like, "All right, get out here." Anyway, that's what it's kind of like. It's fun to watch. The Dodge boys have been dispatched to 14 agencies, including the Treasury Department and the Department of Education. And if Elon Musk is allowed to expose what's happening at the Treasury Department, there's likely to be there's likely to be, I don't know, a revolution. I'll tell you what. There's likely to be a call for the arrest of thousands of government employees and elected officials if it's ever exposed what's been going on at the Treasury Department. In fact, the criminally insane sex cult led by Barack Obama, who seized power in 2020, they're so terrified that they got one of their judges, an Obama judge, just issued an order. The PJ Media calls it an order. I think it's just an opinion. But a federal judge issued his opinion temporarily blocking Dodge from accessing essential data on federal payments. And it actually bars Treasury officials from accessing data managed by the agency. What this means is a judge appointed by the head of the high priest of the criminally insane sex cult, a judge has blocked the Treasury Secretary from viewing or managing data in his own department because the judge classified him as a political appointee, which he is. But so we have a judge blocking the executive branch from exercising authority over their office. And by the way, the Treasury Secretary has been duly appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. But this judge says, according to his order, only civil servants with a need for access to perform their job duties can access the data at the Treasury Department. Political appointees cannot. So this judge is basically saying only deep state loyalists who can help us hide this fraud before it all comes out are allowed to look. And there's going to be a hearing on it on February 13th, which is this coming Tuesday. And until Tuesday, I know Donald Trump is busy going to the Super Bowl and doing all that, but his order, this judge's order should be publicly violated. The judge should be arrested at halftime during the Super Bowl, right? Because it's time to publicly and loudly start letting the crooks know that the cops are here. Your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us, ladies and gentlemen, as we dig a little deeper into the Dodge a Bullet file, where Zero Hedge reports that Dodgeball teams, I have to come up with a moniker for these boys, the Dodgeball team. They have just obtained security clearances. This is as of Friday. And have been embedded in the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, gaining access to the payment and contracting systems. And so here's the thing about Elon Musk. You all know if you've listened, I'm not the biggest fan of Elon Musk, but one thing he knows is payment systems and computer software. And so he just naturally knows how to expose the undeniable evidence, proof of criminal activity. And well, I'm glad he's doing it. And I can't believe that. Well, the fact that him and Trump haven't been killed proves that all the powers that be are literally just that, because we just all assume they are. They actually don't have the power that they've convinced us they have, and that they convinced us back during COVID that they had. It's like all of us who, when they said you can't leave your house, all of those of us who looked at each other and said, well, how is that? We can't leave our house. And then we just did leave our house, but most everybody didn't leave their house and thought the government had the authority to tell them they couldn't leave their house and that they had the power, and they don't have the power. They're a criminally insane pile of maniacs. And if arrests don't start soon, I'll be very disappointed, but I'm quite confident that they will start arresting people. I mean, they're going to have to when the enormity of the criminal activity and the amount of money that these people have stolen. Anyway, all right. Meanwhile, over at the Panama Canal, newly minted Secretary of State Marco Rubio went down and met with President Jose Raul Mulino. And during the meeting, he told the president of Panama that the United States may seize the Panama Canal on the grounds that the Panamanian government has violated the agreements that the Panamanians made back in 1970, whatever, with Jimmy Carter, to gain control of the Panama Canal, which they have violated it grossly. And the Americans simply reminded the Panamanians that if we want to, we can simply land Marines there and take it away from you. And we will if you don't play ball. And so the Panamanians immediately started playing ball. The Panamanian president issued a statement after being threatened with having the Panama Canal taken from him by force. He released a statement stating that the conversation he had with Mr. Rubio was in no way hostile or confrontational. On the contrary, Mulino found the conversation highly respectful and cordial, which is what people do when you threaten them with legitimate punishment for their violations of their word to you. They get in line and they start behaving. Mulino is a newly elected, by the way, a relatively conservative. He was he's an anti mass migration guy down in Panama. And so everyone freaked out when Donald Trump started saying, we'll take the Panama Canal back. Everyone's like, what are you talking about? When normal people are like, yeah, it's about time somebody said something like that. And even the guy in Panama, he's like, OK, he knew that Donald Trump has no intention to land Marines and take it away. He knows what this is about. This is about letting people know who's in charge, for crying out loud. That's all. Stop freaking out. Mulino immediately announced that Panama would exit the Belt and Road Initiative, which is the Chinese Communists' global infrastructure initiative, under which China offers predatory loans to poor countries in order to erode their sovereignty. That's according to Breitbart. So anyway, good negotiations on the part of Donald Trump and Marco Rubio, an important success for Trump and Rubio. And I just want to remind all of the Christians surrounding Donald Trump, all the good that Trump does will not relieve you as a Christian being close to Trump of your dereliction of duty in not preaching the gospel to him. So the Panamanians, they were derelict in their duty to honor the agreement and not let the commies take over the Panama Canal. And the Christians surrounding Donald Trump are derelict in their duty. And if I ever get a chance to meet him, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not going to kowtow and tell him how great he is. So even if he does great things, none of that really matters in the bigger picture. Let's move on. More good news from the Trump administration. Donald Trump broached the idea of a mass relocation of everyone in Gaza and then the United States taking over Gaza. And this absolutely flipped people out. It was hilarious to watch some of the news girls' reactions to this. It's the most sensible thing anyone has said about Gaza in at least 50 years. Move everyone out. Force the countries around them to take them. And you can't do that. You'll start a war. No, you won't. Because Jordan was created as the Palestinian state, you idiots. It wouldn't even exist. King Abdullah wouldn't even have a castle if it wasn't for the agreement that established Jordan as the Palestinian state. And you just tell him, no, you're going to take him. And then if he says no, then you just start driving them in. And then what's he going to do? Oh, he's going to get in line and he's going to play ball is what he's going to do. And the Egyptians will do the same thing. And it makes perfect sense. And believe me, the Jordanians and the Egyptians, what they'll do to those people in Gaza is a tragedy. They'll kill almost all of them because most of the Gazans are criminal maniac terrorists. And that's why nobody wants them. But they're going to get them. And then, anyway, I had a listener ask me, what do you think of this Trump saying that we're going to take over Gaza? So that seems quite audacious. And, yeah, audacious. So we're living in a time, and my friend didn't say audacious. People in the news media have said, that's so audacious. We're living in a time where people are so wussified that just a regular man standing up speaking common sense is considered audacious. Shocking. They wet themselves when just a regular man stands up and starts talking common sense. It's sad. Sad state of affairs. But I told my friend, the listener, I said that Donald Trump believes he is a character of biblical proportion, chosen by God to bring order to God's kingdom on earth. So it's a theological thing with Donald Trump. See, most of the Christian church thinks that our job is to build God's kingdom on earth. And it's just bad doctrine. But bad doctrine has an effect. So Donald Trump thinks that God saved him from being shot so that Donald Trump could bring order to God's kingdom on earth. And so that could cause Donald Trump to do some good things, because he thinks he's been mandated by God. Donald Trump, somebody should tell Donald Trump that there are millions of men who've been shot at millions of times and missed. Okay? We've been at war in Afghanistan for 20 years. You know how many tens of thousands of American men have been shot at and missed? Don, you're not that special. Happens all the time. So most bullets that are fired don't hit. Yeah, anyway. But he thinks that God actually moved his head or moved the bullet or whatever. And all the biblical illiterates and lightweights around him are telling him that God saved him. They did it publicly at the inauguration. It was embarrassing. Anyway, but back to Gaza. He speaks common sense on Gaza. The guy builds buildings. I mean, New York is practically a third world hellhole, which is what Gaza is now. Just now it's rubble. And so don't underestimate the intent and the desire of Donald Trump and the people around him in his private business world to do business and to make money and to build their family wealth and their empires. And there's nothing criminal or illegal about it. That's what they do. And they do it well. And in the case of the Gaza Strip, it's not unreasonable to believe that Trump's organization could not only come in and make Gaza better, but they could turn a profit on it. Because Gaza is located in a place that should be a global vacation destination. It should be. And if the Trump organization takes it over, it could be. Now, the hysterical girls on TV, they think it's impossible to convince the Arab world to give up their holy, Gaza is their holy grail. But all you have to do is offer them enough money. Give them a cut, and they'll throw the Gazans under the bus in a heartbeat, and they'll bring in the cranes, and they'll start clearing the rubble, and they'll start building. And this entire demonic obsession with pushing the Jews into the sea could ebb for a little while, and Gaza could at least not be a pile of rubble with bombs underneath it, which is where we are right now, which is where most of the people in the news media and at the UN and at USAID and at the State Department, they're happy with that situation. For whatever reason, they like that situation. You wonder who's the devil worshipers. And when I said it was a criminally insane sex cult, I'm telling you, that's not hyperbole. That's an accurate description of the people who have instigated and supported the Gaza situation for the past three generations. They're a criminally insane sex cult. And now it's all coming out that they've been robbing us blind on top of it all. And I'm all for it. I'm glad it's happening. It's about time it happened. I just hope that Trump is allowed to carry it all out to its natural conclusion, which, again, should be the arrests and trials of the cultists. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. That's right. Arrests, trials, can't wait. Get the popcorn. So it will not only be entertaining, it will be edifying and beneficial for civilization in general. All right, so we've had a lot of good news, and so let me give you one more piece of good news here that I wasn't able to get to last week. This is from January 31st. Marion Bowman Jr. was put to death by lethal injection on January 31st. He was sentenced to death in 2002 for the murder of Candy Martin, a high school friend. Martin was shot to death and her body placed in the trunk of her car, which was then set on fire. Bowman was 20 years old at the time. And he has acknowledged that he sold drugs to the girl, but denied any involvement in her murder. And despite 23 years of legal and court action, no one and nothing has ever established anything other than he did it. He filed numerous appeals seeking to put off his execution. He claimed his attorneys held racist attitudes. And then she claimed that because he weighed 400 pounds that it would be cruel and unusual to execute him. And he tried everything. And his sleazy lawyers tried everything, every which way. And 23 years later, despite the fact that his lawyers told him that, his lawyers claimed that the manner of execution being lethal injection presented a potentially torturous execution process. That was the claim he made. And then when you read the report about his execution, he breathed it deep a couple of times and started snoring and then died. So torturous. So according to witnesses, the execution wasn't too bad. It's certainly not nearly bad enough. Anyway, so there. So that's one execution. Now, I wonder how many murders there have been just in South Carolina since January 1st to January 31st, as opposed to how many executions. Anyway, but we're thankful whenever the justice system slips and trips backwards into doing the right thing by accident. Okay, so we're thankful for that. And then speaking of that type of thing, let's go to the Donald Trump's White House, where Donald Trump, here's the headline reads from Breitbart. Trump signs executive order to restrict sex change procedures for minors. And there's some truth to that. But then you read the opening sentence. President Donald Trump signed an executive order this week to bar chemical or surgical mutilation sex change procedures for minors. Now, there's very little truth to that, because what Donald Trump did, well, here's the order. The United States will not fund, sponsor, promote, assist, or support the so-called transition of a child from one sex to another. And it defines a child as anyone under the age of 19, which is kind of weird, because that's just, anyway. So, by the way, Trump did not simultaneously announce that he will be supporting legislation to criminalize sex change operations. Because that argument's over. In fact, the argument against any sex change operations is now over, even for children, if there's parental consent. And as long as federal funds aren't involved. See what Donald see all these executive orders that Donald Trump issues, they have no authority outside of money that the federal government can spend under the executive branch. So they have very little actual authority. But the White House is the bully pulpit. When the president stands up and issues an executive order, it influences the way people think and the way people behave, because it seems like the boss said we got to do this. And so people get in line. They start doing what the boss wants them to do. And in this case, Donald Trump will, I'm thankful that he has at least presented the position that the federal government is no longer worshiping transgenderism. That's something. That we're no longer worshiping it. It's no longer a religious rite in the cult. So we've at least stepped back from that. And Donald Trump posted on Truth Social, "It was my great honor to sign an executive order banning the chemical castration and medical mutilation of innocent children in America." And that's just not true. That's not what he did. And that's not, he didn't even make a statement against that. He's just taking credit for what he didn't do. So, and you know what? It's because you like to be lied to, and he knows it. He knows that the bamboozled evangelicals, the gullible evangelicals out there, they think he just banned trans surgeries, which he didn't do. And the reason he didn't do that is because he's not against it. He's not against transgenderism. He's friends with Bruce Jenner, for crying out loud. But you like being lied to, and he knows it. And by the way, the devil will take that. The devil's good with no federal funds for trans surgeries and defining under the age of 19. The devil's great with that. Because what you've done now is you've validated the idea that transgender surgery isn't an insane criminal act, which is what it is. It's an act of mutilation by deranged people who should be arrested. But so the devil wins on that one. But the United States government has stepped back from actually worshiping the act. But you know what this sets up is when the things swing back, they're going to swing back further. And the and now the whole transgenderism has been legitimized one more layer. And so I celebrate the good. I'm happy about what Donald Trump does that is good. But I am going to hold everyone to account for understanding what is happening that is undermining civilization. Because that's what really matters. Is civilization, because it's civilization that gives us the ability to live a peaceable life and preach the gospel. And that is being undermined by this act of Donald Trump. Now, the thing is, he should have done both. He should have not left the other undone. As Jesus told the Pharisees, "You tithe of your mint and your anise, but you leave aside the weightier matters of the law. Love your neighbor." Donald Trump should have stepped back with his, he should have issued his executive order with all the authority he could muster as the president to do the right thing. And then he should have also sponsored legislation criminalizing the insane mutilation of people by other insane, criminally insane maniacs. All right. So while all this is going on, and Donald Trump and Elon Musk threaten to expose the greatest criminal fraud in the history of humanity, more people having more money stolen from them for more longer a period of time than ever before in history. A revelation that could even make that, so you got about 30% of the country that are normal, sane people. You got about 30%, in maybe 40% in the middle who pretty much go along with anything. All they care about is feeding their face and their eyes and their ears and entertaining themselves. That's all they care about. That's like 40% of the country. And then there's another 10 or 20% who are the insane maniacal lunatics on the left. Well, this exposure that's happening, this revelation of this criminal fraud, this could cause the 40%, the squishy 40%, to get in line with the 30% of us who are normal and want to pull us back from the gates of hell. And so, so naturally, the dark forces of the empire are the malevolent forces are seething and trying to figure out what can we do to stop this from happening. And so they're trying through their mouthpiece over at Fox News, where I have downloaded this story, a deadly zoonotic virus found in the U.S. That's right. A fatal virus has been discovered in shrews in Alabama. It's called Hennepavirus. Never heard of it before. Well, it's zoonotic, which means it can spread from animals to humans. That's right. And then they quote Dr. Reese Perry from the School of Chemistry and Molecular Biosciences. As if that means anything anymore. Oh, you're from the School of Chemistry and Molecular Biosciences? Okay, arrest him and investigate him. Now, because I'm suspicious of you, Mr. Reese, expert from the School of whatever. The fact that you're quoted in a Fox News story about a scary zoonotic virus means I want you stopped at the border and checked. Yeah, maybe not arrested, but at least detained and check his background. Make sure he's not on the payroll with USAID and the NIH. Anyway, they say that this virus has been detected in Australia and has a fatality rate of 70%. Oh! And keep in mind, folks, there's a good 10 to 20% of the population who want to do this again. The whole COVID, they want to do it again. The pandemic, they want to. And then if I'm wrong, that they're actually... So I have taken the position that the people who say they can engineer viruses are lying. I don't believe them. Now, if I'm wrong, though, and they can, well, then they're going to. And so I hope I'm not wrong. I hope that the whole gain of function... I hope that's all been a big scam to bamboozle and embezzle more money out of the government. That's one place where we could be thankful that it was all just a lie. You know, the whole thing about feeding the hungry and digging wells for the children in Africa, when what they were actually doing was funding transgender surgery in Thailand, that we can be really mad about. But the fact that they actually can't engineer viruses to kill us all, and that they were just blowing smoke and to bamboozling grant money, that would be a good thing. We can hope that's true. But if it's not true and they can engineer a virus, well, trust me, the threatened revelation of all of their crimes would be the trigger for them to unleash the deadly virus. And so we hope that's not true. But we go from there to the widespread panic file, where New York State officials, who are card-carrying priests and priestesses of the criminally insane sex cult that run the world, New York State officials, that is, they say that they are taking precautions against the avian flu after 7 cases were detected at live bird markets in New York City. The markets were ordered last Friday to shut down for about a week to, quote, combat the illnesses. Kathy Hochul, high priestess of the criminally insane sex cult, announced that to combat the spread of the highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPI, I don't know what they'll call it. They need to come up with a better acronym if they want to scare people. HPAI, just, it's not going to work. Come on. It's like monkeypox. Just, that makes everybody like, huh, what? It's not going to work. Anyway, she says, to combat the spread of this HPI, the Department of Agriculture and Markets has issued notices to sell down your inventory and complete cleaning and disinfection procedures and remain closed for a period of 5 days after cleaning and disinfection. And her order further outlines quarantine and depopulation procedures for the markets that have confirmed detections of H. So if you don't have any infections, you have to shut down and clean everything as if that's going to stop the spread of the flu. And if you do, you have to kill all your birds if you have a H. pie report. During routine, by the way, the infections were found during routine surveillance conducted by the Agriculture and Markets Department there. Department of Agriculture and Markets. They started their routine surveillance on January 31st, 2025. Right after Donald Trump came to office, and it became obvious that he was about to expose the greatest criminal fraud of all of history, that Governor Hochul's up to her ears in it. And so the state goes on to remind farmers to follow good biosecurity measures and emphasizes that the risk to humans is low. As long as Donald Trump and Elon Musk get in line and shut up. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. We're going to leave the widespread panic file and all the zoonotic bird flu stuff aside, because my extremely attractive audio engineer is of the opinion that they simply can't pull that off again. And I certainly hope she is right. Meanwhile, so I've got a story that this is why I decided to call the Doge Dodge, is because of this story. I thought that I'm taking it as a sign. There was a man arrested. I believe this is in the Salt Lake City area there in Utah. So a man arrested, according to the headline from ABC News, in the death of a friend. This fellow reportedly told officers that he and his friend had smoked marijuana and were talking about guns. Not a good combination among a couple of stupid single men. Smoking dope, talking about guns, when the victims claimed he could dodge a bullet. That's right. So the man who was arrested say that he and his friend unloaded each gun before he pointed the gun at his friend, pulling the trigger with his friend trying to jump out of the way. Wow. To prove that he could move before the trigger was pulled. Mm-hmm. So this is from the Pot Never Hurt Anyone file. So the final time the friend pulled the trigger, the gun fired. Oh, wow. Striking his friend in the chest, the victim then asked the shooter to call 911. Because he had been shot. So evidence that they were smoking marijuana, the guy shot had to tell the guy who shot him that he'd been shot. The shooter rendered aid to his friend until first responders arrived. The man who was shot died at the scene. Yes. Officials found two handguns and drug paraphernalia consistent with marijuana use. So that's from the Pot Never Hurt Anyone file, except the guy who got shot because he thought he could dodge a bullet because he'd been smoking marijuana. It's a sad story. It's a tragically sad story.
What part did you think their eyes are like?
Yeah, right? I mean, so and this is the thing. People think marijuana is kind of a joke. Oh, it makes you have the munchies and you chuckle. Well, for some people, it makes them deranged because it's a dangerous drug. And it should be illegal. And I think it is illegal, by the way, in Utah. But you know what? It's not really illegal anywhere anymore. because once all these states started legalizing it, it's kind of like an executive order. The law makes people think a certain way. The law is the great instructor. And so when people hear that it's legal, then it's legal. They just pretend it's illegal because it's basically tolerated. It's been tolerated. And it's just a sad, sad story that. So what an embarrassing way to die, right? Can you imagine you wake up and there's God right there. It says, hey, man, it's judgment day. And you're trying to shake off. Anyway, it's a cautionary tale for all you young people. All right. Meanwhile, we have from the Federalist. The Federalist headline says there is a clear path to victory for the pro-life movement this year. That's right. The Federalist is calling 2025 the year the pro-life industry. Oh, did I say industry? I'm sorry. They say this is the year the pro-life movement will have victory. They say the pro-life organizations are poised to fight abortion by defunding Planned Parenthood. That's the big one. Defund Planned Parenthood. And restoring necessary safeguards on the abortion pill. Oh, and oh, not just that. And challenging free speech buffer zones. And more, says the Federalist. Yeah, and then anyone who's actually against the killing of innocent people, like they do in abortion clinics, and like they do with the abortion pill, anyone who's against the killing of innocent human beings stops and says, well, is the and more like outlawing the killing of children? Is that the and more? Because it's not in your article that pro-life victory would be outlawing child killing. Which those of us who are in the pro-life movement, we thought that was the victory, was that it would be against the law to kill all innocent people, not just the walking around kind, all innocent people. And we have a quote from Sean Carney from 40 Days for Life. He's the president of 40 Days for Life, which is part of the pro-life industry. Not that there aren't people in 40 Days for Life who would like to outlaw abortion, but they're happy to have their organization continue while supporting things that will never outlaw the killing of innocent people. And in fact, will further codify the killing of certain innocent people. And it's a sad statement that that's what 40 Days for Life has degenerated to. But that's they're part of the industry now. Let's see, Sean Carney, President 40 Days for Life, says the pro-life movement is one of the few movements Trump listened to in his first term. I don't think he did anything we didn't want him to do. Okay, but Sean, could you mention that he didn't do the one thing we wanted him to do? And you think you can have an organization that continues to do good when you've thrown out the one good thing your organization was founded to do? All right. I mean, I suppose that 40 Days for Life, they go and they put their rosary beads on and they go and they pray at the clinic for, and maybe they turn around a woman and they save a life, which is, that's great, wonderful. But the killing of innocent people, that's the bigger picture, okay? That was the whole point. Okay, but that's over with. All right, I need to get over that, I guess, right? Get over it. We're all going to call ourselves pro-life, and we're going to be okay with some abortions because we realize that that's the realistic part. And we have our 501c3. Hey, I wonder if I'll bet you 40 Days for Life never got a dime from USAID. That's one good thing we can say. Okay, now let's go to Japan, to the dim new world file, where Fortune magazine reports on a global loneliness epidemic. So I was not aware that there was a global loneliness epidemic, but it's an official thing. And because of this global loneliness epidemic, so you know what's happening is older people in their 70s and 80s are being routinely discarded by their children in their 40s and 50s. In fact, this article reports on a woman, Akio, who's she's about 80 years old now. She was thrown in jail back in her 60s for stealing food. And then she recently was arrested again for shoplifting. And it turns out she just wanted to go back to prison because she's lonely. Apparently, there's a trend in Japan, elderly women committing low-level crimes in order to be incarcerated because they get regular meals, free health care, and elder care, and they're offered work in the prison factories, which they prefer to their lonely lives, which is just really sad. Akio was left in her going into her 70s and 80s with no money and no familial support. Just before she was imprisoned, her 43-year-old son told her, quote, "I wish you'd just go away," unquote. And so this is kind of a sad, dark irony for the baby boomer generation and the Gen X generation as we get old. Because for our generations were the first generations to, on a wholesale industrial level, tell our children we didn't want them. And we killed about a third of them. And then we divorced and treated the rest of them horribly. I'm talking on a civilizational scale. This happened. And so now, as we get old, our kids are telling us, guess what? We don't want you. You killed a third of our generation? Well, turnabout is fair play, Grandma. It's very sad. But it's the vicious nature of humanity in a fallen world. Did you think you could murder a third of a generation and they wouldn't be mad at you about it? Did you think you could divorce and treat them horribly and put them on drugs and ruin their lives and that they wouldn't hold it against you when you became old and defenseless? Anyway, this is why we need the gospel, because only the gospel can put charity into the hearts of the young people who've been treated badly by their parents and grandparents and prevent them from taking vengeance on them. So that's why we preach the gospel. All right, let's see. A couple of stories I wasn't able to get to last week that I wanted to get to from the Post-Christian Europe file. Salwan Momika had been put on trial for insulting Islam because he burned a Quran. He was awaiting a likely guilty verdict for insulting Islam when Islamists murdered him live during his broadcast. And so the court now is perhaps somewhat embarrassed, but probably not. Meanwhile, there was a school shooting last week in Nashville that we didn't get to because there's so many that sometimes you miss them. A teenage boy shot and killed a 16-year-old girl. Police say? CNN reports it that way. Teenager, police say, shot a 16-year-old girl because you know why? CNN likes to plant the doubt about anything the police say. So in urinalism school, they're taught to report this way. Plant doubts in people's minds about the good guys. Always. So this is just what the police say. We don't know what actually happened. Although if you ask the parents of the 16-year-old girl, you can confirm that she was shot and killed. But CNN implies that the police are not to be trusted. Police say a teenager shot. Let's see. Jocelyn Correa Escalante was shot and killed. And now listen to this. The school, I haven't gotten to the motivation of the kid, the boy who did it. I haven't gotten to that yet. I'll try and research it. The school was equipped with a gun detection system called OmniLert. And so the CEO had to answer for why did the school paid all this money for the gun detection system, OmniLert. And so CEO Dave had to answer, what happened? How come OmniLert didn't alert us? And CEO there at OmniLert says, our hearts go out to the students, staff, and families, and the entire Nashville community affected by this tragic event. Okay, and so I just want to stop because that's too many words already, Dave. First of all, Dave, you should have refused to appear on television and just offered your apologies and said, we're trying to get to the bottom of this horrible failure. But that's not what he did. He went on to say, we can confirm that the OmniLert gun detection system was deployed at Nashville Public Schools, but in this case, the location of the shooter and the firearm meant that the weapon was not visible. This is not a case of the firearm not being recognized by the system, said this guy in broad daylight in front of God and everybody. So is he allowed to say this when his system allowed the gun into the school? Is he allowed to say that, well, this is not a case of, it's not that the gun wasn't recognized, it's that the system didn't see it. Okay, Dave, you're fired. Anyway, school district director Adrian says the district will enhance security measures in response to the tragedy, which is, she's allowed to say that. It's like, thank you, you're going to close the door, closing the barn door after the horses. Have you ever heard that one, Adrian? Maybe you're not familiar with that. And the band played on. A GoFundMe page is set up. Right? There's a new Nashville School Violence Support and Healing Fund that's been set up that will initially be funded by some private donations, and then it'll get in line for, well, it was going to get in line at the trough over at USAID, but that might be delayed. Because these charities, all this has been going on now. This is an industry around the school shootings. They set up the GoFundMe. Everybody weeps. They sell some candles. Everybody lights their candles in a daze. And then your tax dollars make it into the NGO 501c3 charitable organizations so that tax dollars can then be paid out to the victims of the families, so that parents who are sacrificing their children in the government schools can receive some financial compensation for their sacrifice. Kid gets killed. Family starts foundation. Family makes money off the death of their child. For how long? Well, if USAID was allowed, it would just go on forever. So does that make anyone feel uncomfortable with what's happening in the government schools? That it's literally turned into it's turned into a religious financial system of penance? Meanwhile, let's try to end on what looks like a cheerful note. Charlie Sheen's daughter Lola has been baptized and declared herself a Christian after, quote, hitting rock bottom, unquote. And I just have to say that I am happy for her. She told her followers on social media that Jesus saved her from battling severe anxiety and says that her faith has allowed her to laugh again. She says, Jesus fulfilled his promise of making me new and completely renewing my mind. Okay, so I'm so happy that Lola is not following in the footsteps of her father and other family members in just being a degenerate. And I hope she finds Christian influence in her life that will help her understand that the renewal that Jesus Christ offers is not a magical, mystical event. Just like Jesus is not an imaginary, mystical, magical friend who makes everything okay in a poof. But the fact that she has, well, listen, I have another quote from her. She says, thank you, Jesus, for everything. I love you. And that's where she should just stop. And that's where I'm going to stop reading, because I just feel good for her that she's on this. She told fans she intends to start a religious podcast and a YouTube channel. I would just advise her to maybe take some time and actually read the Bible. And so this is why it's important for people who understand the Bible to preach it publicly, because people need to understand. And I just hope that Charlie Sheen's daughter Lola, I hope that her love of Jesus Christ and thankfulness to Jesus Christ is sincere, because that's all it takes. Just say, thank you, I love you. That's all you need. stop right there, and then I wouldn't go starting. But anyway, God bless her. We wish the best to Charlie Sheen's daughter, Lola. Hopefully we get in touch with her. I'd send her a link, help her understand a little bit about her amazingly wonderful decision and event in her life. God bless you, Lola Sheen. All right, that's it for the Weekly Worldview, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to thank my friends over at Real Science Radio. To the Lord, Terry will return again next week. Until then, may the grace of God be with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.